But this is a great passage, just an exciting story here in Acts chapter 3 and in Acts chapter 4. Just God's working, and I think we'll make some great applications for us. But take a look with me. What is taking place here in Acts chapter 4? Look with me. As they spake unto the people here in verse 1, this is talking about Peter and talking about John in particular. They are speaking to the people. You say, what people? We'll come there in a second. Well, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. And so this is the setting of the story we're going to look at. Peter and John in the temple. What a great place to be, right? Preaching the Word of God. And yet what happens? They get arrested here in the temple. And so look back with me here in Acts chapter 3. This was our passage last month. A great passage here. Incredible story. Look with me here. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So we are talking about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They go up to the temple here at the hour of prayer. And notice verse 2, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now this man, as you noticed, he was carried here daily. He never walked here. He was lame from birth. And yet we're told in the next chapter, he was over 40 years old. He's a middle-aged guy, all right? And he's never walked. He's never run. He has been lame from birth. And so daily they would carry him and lay him outside the gate of the temple there. And there he would beg. He would ask for alms. And so this was part of the routine. And as we're going to see, everyone knew this guy. You know, it's kind of like when we drive around here on some of the corners. We have folks who are there regularly. I was reading an article, and, you know, I know sometimes we question the legitimacy of some of those folks, right? But this man, he was legitimately crippled. And they brought him here daily to lay at the temple and beg. But you know what's interesting? This man came to the temple every day. What better place to come, right? But although he came to the temple every day, he had never had his true needs met. Isn't that sad? You think about what better place for him to come, and yet he did not know the truth. And so as we read here, notice with me, he came to the temple daily. Here we see in verse 2, who when he saw Peter and John, verse 3, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. You can picture him crying out, alms, alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And boy, this got the guy's attention, because what did he think? Hey, they're going to give me money. You know, this is good news. And Peter says, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But what did Peter say? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Hey, I don't have anything to give you as far as financially. But notice what he says. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what does Peter do? He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I mean, can you imagine this? This man who had never walked before. And Peter reaches out and helps him stand. And all of a sudden, I mean, he can feel it. His feet and ankle bones receive strength. I mean, he's never walked before. You know what it's like after you're sick? You're laying around. How your body becomes weak. You go out and you try to exercise for the first time after that. And you're out of breath and you can't do anything. That happens just after a few days. But this man has never walked before. And all of a sudden, his feet and ankle bones are strengthened. This is supernatural healing from God. And notice this. How do we know how well he was healed? Notice this. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine this? This guy has never walked before, and now all of a sudden he can walk. And so he goes, you know, he's laying outside here. They help him up, and they go into the temple. Can you imagine him doing the steps? And man, I mean, he's leaping, he's doing all kinds of kicks. And I don't want to hurt myself here, but can you picture this? This is incredible. If I pull a muscle here, that would be bad. But anyway, all right, so notice this, verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I mean, this caused a stir in the temple. And so look at this, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So picture this. I mean, this guy is ecstatic. He's leaping. He's excited. He's holding Peter and John. Can't you just picture wrapping him up and hugging him and, wow, thank you. And while this is happening, the people rush, and they rush into this porch at the temple, Solomon's porch there. And so Peter sees this here in verse 12. The people are watching in amazement. Verse 12, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though we by our own power or holiness, we had made this man able to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up." Are you catching this now? Peter says, hey, the God of our fathers, hey, the same Jesus that you delivered up. Can you picture him pointing as he's saying this? Wow. The intensity is picking up. That you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So here's the invitation Peter gives. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. All right, so this event, I mean, this is the day the temple shook here, as this man was healed, and these people were filled with amazement and wonder. And they rush into this porch, and Peter takes advantage of the opportunity and preaches, and he doesn't hold back. He's the one you delivered up. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that this man is healed. Now picture what's taking place here. The chief priests, the Sadducees, they're watching all this. And you can just picture Peter even pointing at them. You who delivered him up. And that brings us here to chapter 4. Peter preaches this great message in chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Notice this, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now as we understand this a little more, okay, they're preaching the name of Jesus. These folks didn't accept Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. So they were fired up about that, first of all. Secondly, what was he preaching? About the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They were a group of religious zealots, very well educated, but they didn't believe in a resurrection. They largely used religion for a status and even for wealth. And so they enjoyed their control over the people, but when they're preaching about a resurrection, talk about getting the Sadducees fired up, that would do it. So these guys are fired up. And so they take Peter and John and they take them into hold until the next day. You say, this is terrible. Well, but look with me in verse 4. It doesn't stop here. Notice this. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of men was about 5,000. Through what took place here, about 5,000 men believed. On Pentecost, there were 3,000, right? This was about 5,000 through the healing of this lame man. Well, what takes place? Verse 5. It came to pass on the morrow or in the morning that the rulers, the elders, the scribes, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Can't you just picture this questioning? So they bring Peter and John and they set them in the midst and they gather around them. Intimidation factor, right? They're going to press on them. They're going to question them. And they come strong. By what power have you done this? Sorry, Linda. I'm not trying to scare you here. But can you imagine? I mean, they're going to get in their face. And, you know, they kind of sense these guys. What are they expecting? Oh, well, we're sorry. You know, we didn't mean to offend anyone. No, is that what takes place here? No, take a look here. Look at Peter's response. This is amazing. Look at this. Then Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, and by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And this great verse, Acts 4:12, I learned this verse in Awana, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And so they send Peter and John out of the room and they confer together, what are we going to do? And so they end up calling them in. They threaten them, hey, don't you teach or preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they let them go. And Peter and John go their way and gather with the Christians and rejoice in what God has done. What an incredible story. An incredible story of God's working. Great passage. But we want to look at this in just a few applications here this evening in the time that we have. I want us to consider just a few things. Number one is this, the importance of the man being born lame. This man was born lame. He had spent over 40 years lame. You think about this. He had never run a race. He never walked to the temple or to the market or any place. He was lame. He had to be carried everywhere. And yet, you know what? God had a purpose for this. You know, I probably, if we went around in here, we could each share something about ourselves we'd like to change, the way we're made. I remember back when I was younger, back in high school, I did not like my hair. Back in the 80s, you know, what was in? Everyone feathered their hair, right? I couldn't feather my hair. I had thick, wiry, wavy hair. My girls still tease me a little. You know, don't touch dad's hair. You might cut yourself. You know, they're ruthless. But now I'm just thankful to have some hair, right? But back then, I was upset. I didn't like my hair. Everyone had cool feathered hair, but I couldn't have cool feathered hair. If I tried to grow mine out long enough to feather, it would just get thicker, like one of those chia pets. You know what I'm talking about? That was me. So I didn't like my hair. And you know what? There are different things we could all say. You know, I wish this was different, or I wish I was taller or shorter or this or that. But you know what? God made each of us the way we needed to be made, and He made us this way for His glory and for His purpose. Because this man was lame, God used him to be healed, and about 5,000 men came to know Christ, to believe in Christ, and place their faith and trust in Christ this day because they saw this man healed there in the temple. Now you know what? God may use the way I'm made, maybe to bring one person to Christ. Or maybe to bring 10,000 people to Christ. Or maybe just to encourage other believers. We don't understand. We don't always know God's ways. His ways are so much greater than our ways. But God has a purpose. It could be the way we're made. It could be something we are going through right now. You know what? God has a purpose. Aren't we tempted to question God? Wouldn't you be tempted to question like this man? Why me? Why can everyone else run and walk and do all these things and I can't even stand up? This man had to be tempted to question God. And yet, this one day, God used him in just the healing of this man to bring so many people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe it's a financial difficulty you're going through. You know what I've found? The Lord teaches me the most about faith in those kind of difficult times, right? Maybe it's a health need that we have right now. You know, we were talking, one of our teachers has a sibling on the mission field, planning to come home, got to the airport, of course had to do a test and tested positive for the virus. Even though they don't think she has it, they think it's just antibodies. She can't come home right now. She was going to be home for Christmas. You know, those disappointments like that. You know what? I don't know what God's going to do through that, but I believe God has a plan. We're still praying she can make it home for Christmas, but God delayed her for now. God has a plan. You see, the disappointments, the hardships, the difficulties, the persecutions, the importance of this man being born lame. God had a purpose. It was not a mistake. It did not catch God by surprise. And God used it to bring around 5,000 men to Him that day. What a wonderful God we have. So the first note there, the importance of the man being born lame. And as we face different things in our lives, you know, let's realize God has a purpose. And let's believe. It's hard to sometimes, right? Let's face it. We're human. We're tempted to question, to think, to kind of pity ourselves. Why me? But you know what? God has a plan. And let's walk by faith in Him. You know, notice the second thing here. This miracle was done by the name and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not done through the temple. It was not done through any power of Peter and John. They even admitted that. Don't look on us like this. This name was done through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is God. He is what the world needs today. People need Jesus Christ. No church can make people right with God. Now, we can preach the gospel through church and, hey, invite people to church so they can hear the truth. But a church attendance is not the answer. Reform is not the answer. You know, politics certainly are not the answer. Education's not the answer. Not even religion or good works, right? It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this. This is the message the world needs today. God doesn't want us to raise our kids just to be good citizens, nice people. God wants them to be godly. He wants them to represent the Lord Jesus Christ well. God doesn't want us just to be good citizens and just to treat everyone nice. We have a message. We have a job on this earth. All right? We need to be pointing people to Christ. He wants us to have a close, personal relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge us here this evening. You know, what is my life really about? Is it about the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I living in His strength and in His power? I think all of us would say we are saved 100% through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, neither is there salvation in any other, as Peter preaches. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But you know what? He wants us to go forward then and live our life in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. I didn't just place my faith and trust in Him one time. Now I have a relationship with Him. The verse I mentioned earlier, continuing instant in prayer. How can I do that? Continuing. It's because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with God through Him. And I can call on Him at any time. What a privilege that is. We can walk with Him daily. He is the message. This Christmas season, as the world does everything they can, it seems like, to take Christ out of Christmas. Hey, let's make sure Christ is what Christmas is about. We can celebrate His coming to earth. Don't let the world rob us of the true holiday of Christmas and what we really celebrate. He is the message that this world needs. You know, along these same lines, notice the third thing, and that is this. Let's be so careful how we use the name of the Lord. Our world takes the name of the Lord so lightly. But look at the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus 20 and verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." You know, you don't have to go see the principal if you take the Lord's name in vain. You have far worse than that. Who's going to deal with you? God's going to deal with you. Let's be so careful how we talk and not taking God's name lightly. Let's hallow His name. But notice the fourth thing and the last thing here we want to look at this evening. And that is this, the boldness and the power we see in the lives of Peter and John here. And boy, I think this is so good for us to see here this evening. I mean, it says here in chapter 4, notice this, verse 13, "They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled at the boldness here." I mean, think about this. Peter and John, what was their profession? They were fishermen. These folks they're speaking to, these are highly trained, highly educated religious folks. Peter was probably an eighth grade dropout, right? I mean, he went to take on fishing. I don't know what his education level was. And John? But the boldness with which they answered these people, it wasn't because they were so smart. It wasn't because of their great education. But where did this boldness come from? Well, notice a couple things with me here. Look with me in chapter 4 here, verse 8. Notice this. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." You know, he had God's Spirit in him. He was filled not with himself, not standing up to impress the people. He was standing up to tell them the truth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was filled with God's Holy Spirit. You know what? You and I have the privilege every day to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Or we have the potential to be filled with our own ways, our own selves. We're taught this here in Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We have the Spirit and the flesh lusting within us. We're going to be producing fruit from either God's Holy Spirit in us or through my own flesh. Hey, he was filled with God's Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. We see that. There's part of his boldness. Notice the second thing, though. This is beautiful here in verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Where did they get this boldness? Hey, they spent time with Jesus. They had a privilege you and I don't necessarily have. They physically spent time with Jesus. They were his disciples. They saw him heal folks. They saw him feed 5,000. They saw him raise Lazarus. They witnessed the miracles. Hey, they had been with Jesus. Now, we don't have the privilege to be face-to-face with the Lord Jesus right now. But we do have the privilege to spend time with the Lord Jesus. We have his Word. Hey, we can go to him in prayer. We have that privilege. Where will we get boldness by spending time with Jesus, just like the disciples did? It's not going to be through our great speaking ability or our great talent or our great education. Hey, it's through being filled with God's Spirit and through the boldness that comes from spending time with the Lord Jesus, through knowing him, through our relationship with him, through our conviction of knowing he is what the world needs. Have you ever lacked boldness? You know, can't we all probably say yes? There have been times I've blown it. You know, I've got some good news for you. We're not in bad company. As Peter is standing or sitting before these folks and answering them, think with me, how much earlier during the crucifixion, what was it, about 50 to 60 days before this? Peter had just denied Christ 3 times. Even to it, he didn't even have the guts to stand up to a teenage girl. But he cursed and said, I never knew him. I had nothing to do with him. And yet now, about 2 months later, we see Peter standing on the day of Pentecost. And then, right here we see him preaching and about 5,000 men get saved. And now he's sitting before these religious leaders who are fired up and ready to examine him. And here is Peter, this fisherman, standing, just speaking out boldly of of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Are we convinced of the power of Jesus? Are we convinced of the need of this world? We need folks who will stand up and proclaim the truth with boldness. You know, think with me. Do we have loved ones that we're afraid to speak to? Do we have neighbors? Do we have friends? Oh, that the Lord would give us boldness. Boldness. Do we see them for their need? Picture Peter here pointing his finger. You were the ones who killed him. You were the ones who denied him. And this was a pack of people. This wasn't even one-on-one. But boy, he was standing up boldly. I pray that God would give us boldness. What a great story here this evening, just as we look at this. So just in review, the importance of this man being lame. Hey, God takes us through things, but it's for his glory. He's got a purpose. And I know we're tempted to doubt, we're tempted to question, but let's walk by faith. Let's trust him. Lord, I'm not sure why you're allowing this to happen. We may not know on this side of glory, But God allows us different things for a purpose. Secondly, hey, the power is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He has the power. It's not us. It's not our magical words or our fancy words or saying things just right. It's God working in the hearts of people. But our job is to share that message of Christ. Let's be careful how we use His name. And then finally, let's go forth boldly. Let's pray that God will give us opportunities this Christmas season to be a witness for Him and to point others to Him. Great passage. The story. Do you know this song? We're not going to sing it tonight. Don't worry. I won't put us on the spot there. But there's a great kids song, I guess, Sunday school song that we would sing about this man walking and leaping and praising God. I don't know it well, so I won't try. But may we meditate on these truths this evening, and I trust they'll be a blessing to us. Brother Spatz warned me tonight, don't be long, be short. So I tried to hold it down here this evening. So let's pray here, and we are going to be dismissed here. But hey, we're finishing a little early, 7:46, and so we have time to fellowship together. But let's rejoice in God's goodness to us and His working, and let's go our way in faith here this evening. All right, let's stand together. We'll close in prayer here this evening. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word and just how You reveal Yourself to us, and we